This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Monday, December 2nd, 2019. I'm Caleb Brown. The Federal Reserve is supposed to worry about both employment and inflation. What have we learned about how central banks function that tells us why inflation ought to be the sole target for monetary authorities? Peter Ireland teaches economics at Boston College. We spoke during the Cato Institute's monetary conference last month. The Federal Reserve has a dual mandate.
It does.
And what are the stresses that creates, either within the Fed or between the Fed and Congress?
Right. Well, I think this is key. You brought up Congress. I think that the people who really benefit from the dual mandate are not Fed Reserve officials or even the American workers who would care about unemployment as well as inflation. It serves best members of Congress themselves. It means that every testimony by every Fed Reserve official can be accompanied by politicians on both sides of the aisle railing against the Fed, one side perhaps accusing the Fed of being insufficiently hard on inflation, the other side insufficiently caring about the unemployed. So the dual mandate gives politicians the opportunity to turn testimony that should be focused on making monetary policy better into opportunities to showcase their own rhetorical power or showcase their own concerns for certain constituencies.
Okay. So do you think the dual mandate ought to go away? You think it ought to be a mere inflation target?
I do. Yes, I think the Fed and the country would benefit enormously from that.
There are, a not insignificant group of economists and political leaders who view the dual mandate as critical, and their focus seems to be, look, if the monetary authority only has to focus on inflation and meeting that target, then that means that they don't care about unemployment.
Yes, correct. What that ignores is A, lessons that we've learned from monetary history and economic theory in the years since the 60s and 70s, when the Fed Reserve really did view the Phillips curve as an exploitable trade-off and the dual mandate as a mandate for trying to fine-tune the economy. It ignores the fact that throughout history, in environments where central banks focus on creating and maintaining an environment of nominal stability first, that's when the capitalist system can do what it does best, create the jobs. So that would be one point. Another point relevant to the present day is politicians who emphasize the dual mandate would say, this is because we care about the American worker. But the irony of it is, if you look back at the period now, how many years, 10 years, 11 years since the financial crisis, unemployment is the lowest it's been in 50 years. If you use measures of labor market performance, it makes it seem like things are really, really great and that monetary policy, if anything, has perhaps been too accommodative. And yet, the inflation rate has run below target throughout most, if not all, of the period since then. The big irony is, if the Fed had focused more squarely on inflation throughout this period, monetary policy would likely have been more accommodative, supportive of a more rapid and robust recovery, not the other way around.
Okay. So your paper that you presented here at the Cato Institute Monetary Conference is Independence and Accountability via Inflation Targeting. So getting rid of this second mandate, the focus on unemployment, what does that do to free up the monetary authority to actually do that one job better than it was doing those two jobs?
That's right. Well, two things. Again, think about the present circumstances. The Fed is looking at a low rate of unemployment, and it's looking at a low rate of inflation. The low rate of inflation running persistently below target for the best part of more than a decade is suggestive of the fact that monetary policy has been insufficiently accommodative. And yet the dual mandate forces Fed Reserve officials to begin thinking about the low unemployment rate, the imagined Phillips curve trade-offs, and to hold back on delivering the monetary stimulus that would bring inflation back to 2%. So point number one would simply be, on a practical perspective, by bringing inflation back to target as quickly as possible, now from below, otherwise from above, the Fed would also allow for better performance of the labor market, the real economy as well. But secondly, again, the dual mandate benefits mainly members of Congress who want to sit back and criticize the Fed no matter what it does, not focus instead on how to make monetary policy more effective for all Americans. You give the Federal Reserve a 2% inflation target. It's a specific quantitative number, and the FOMC has identified their preferred measure of inflation based on personal consumption expenditures. So, has the Fed fulfilled the spirit of the dual mandate? The answer is always going to be no to that question in somebody's eyes and ears. But the question is inflation close to the 2% target, or is it running persistently above or below? That's something that's relatively easy to judge and can be used by Congress on behalf of all Americans to answer the question that we care about. Is the Federal Reserve doing what we asked it to do?
So how, and I'm asking you to speculate here, how does a switch to the single mandate of inflation targeting, how does that change interactions between the Fed and Congress? You sort of alluded to it, that it provides this stronger, clearer metric for judging the performance of the Federal Reserve. But it also seems like, aside from having members of Congress pounding the table saying you need to go back to a dual mandate, you might have, congressional leaders at least disciplined more in a way that they're compelled not to effectively call for higher inflation.
Yes,
does that sound right?
It simply makes the discussion very focused on what monetary policy can and should do relative to what performance the Fed has actually delivered. It doesn't mean if inflation is persistently above or below target, perhaps it's due to factors beyond the Fed's control. Certainly, the Federal Reserve Chair should have the opportunity to present publicly to members of Congress and to Americans the reasons that he or she sees for a departure of inflation above or below target. But again, the conversation would be much more focused and much more effective. Think too about the evolution of Federal Reserve policy over the past 12 months. Late last year, the Fed was raising interest rates. Why? Because most forecasts showed that inflation was returning rapidly to 2%, and in fact, there might have even been a danger of an overshoot. This year, the Fed has reversed course. Why? Because the inflation picture turned out to be considerably different. Inflation fell back down below the target again and shows continued sluggishness in moving back up to 2%. Explaining it that way makes very clear what the Fed is doing and why, and makes it clear that it's behaving in a way that is unyieldingly consistent with what the Federal Reserve can do, provide an environment of nominal stability. Without a single mandate for inflation targeting, Federal Reserve officials are put in the position of having to answer all of these questions. Did you reverse course because of political pressures from the president? Was it because of uncertainties over trade policy, or worse yet, in reaction to tariffs? It's impossible for the Fed to answer that question convincingly in the current environment where the mandate is so broad and so vague.
Peter Ireland teaches economics at Boston College and is a member of the Shadow Open Market Committee. We spoke during the Cato Institute's Monetary Conference last month. Become a member of the Cato Podcast Sponsor Program. Visit cato.org/podcast sponsor to make an end-of-year gift today.